The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go with yet another Astro win and another dominating performance. It is the Tigers. It was the Orioles. They aren't playing down to the competition. They're kicking ass. They're taking names. They're destroying all their hopes and dreams. It is a thing of beauty. They are just so fun to watch, dude. This team, you go through that lineup, and it's just like it's guy after guy. I mean, when Miles Straw is 4 for 6, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
4 for 6?
Straw, man, you can't get him out anymore.
No.
He's just beginning.
He's impossible.
He's too tough in that bat.
I told you you should get him out of the lineup.
You can't get Toro out anymore.
No, Toro, you can get out.
Well, you can hit him with a pitch.
Yeah, you can get him.
You can't keep Yordan from going yard in Camden or in Detroit. I mean, you just can't stop the Houston Astros. If the Astros don't hit double digits, if they don't hit 8, it's pretty disappointing. 6 is like, that's a given. What is it, 14 in the last 16 or 15? 14 in the last 16, they've hit 6 or more.
That's
my wife, I'm showing her the scores. Yeah. She's like, is that a, you know, she didn't seem impressed. I'm like, 6 is not, like, this is not normal to get 6 runs. I know in this list of games, it looks very, like, no big deal because it's on the low end. 6 is on the low end. But that's not normal. 6 is not a normal amount of runs in a game.
Did you see what AT&T put out? This is not even including the 12 last night.
Yeah, right.
Not even including the 12 last night. In June, 141 runs, they're first. The Angels are second, 20 runs behind. Runs per game, 6.7. LA Angels, 6.05. They're first in every category.
Yeah.
Hits, 227. LA and Colorado, the Angels and Colorado both have 196. Average, 308. LA, 278. Home runs, 40. Minnesota, 35. OPS, 924. LA Angels, 831. Almost 100 points higher.
Unbelievable.
Run differential, plus 78. Oakland, plus 40. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous how good it is. And we can do this question now. 11-game win streak, right? What are you most encouraged by? What are you most impressed by with this team? Let's say power.
Well,
their
those
power
could be
surge.
Those could be two separate things.
Yeah,
encouraged and impressed.
Right.
Encouraged by could be something that I feel better about the season. Impressed could be like, man, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. Brantley and his 500 average since he came back. The starting pitching, which has been unbelievable. The how about the fill-ins? How about the Toros, McCormicks, the Robels, even Straws? I mean, how about
starter?
The,
but yeah, how about the
he's a starter? But he yeah, but
how not, about the ancillary talent?
Right,
the guys who aren't supposed to do it are all doing it at the same time.
Right.
McCormick,
right.
I mean, all these
the supporting
guys.
Cast.
Yeah,
Michael's supporting cast. Are you most impressed or encouraged by that? The relief pitching has been good,
mm-hmm.
has been really good, especially during this streak anyway. Anything I'm missing?
No. Well, I mean, to me, if you're going to mention Michael Brantley, who is hitting 500, I mean, don't you almost have to mention Jose Altuve? Because he's been on
his power.
This continued power surge.
What about Yuli, way he's hitting?
Yeah, no, Yuli, Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa is
up at near 400 on-base percentage for the year.
Yeah.
For the year, and since May, he's been on a heater. So, you know, I'd have to check if we're talking specifically about an 11-game win streak. You know, you got to check that. Because right now, Jose Altuve, as I say, talk about the power numbers, he has, now he didn't play yesterday, but in the games he's played in, he's only got one home run. Well, you got to go back to that White Sox. It was the last time he had a home run before the other night, two nights ago where he had a home run. But, yeah, I mean, during the win streak, Jose Altuve has 5 home runs in 11 games, in 10 games. He didn't play one of the games. I don't know. It's tough. It's
so,
tough to.
So, I mean, it's stupid. Jordan and Carlos have the highest slugging percentage at 534. Next is Yuli at 524, and Michael Brantley is 522, and he's not hitting homers. That's all he's doing is getting knocks. His slugging is 522. They are all over 900 OPS. It's stupid how good this is.
I think it's safe to say, and I know it's I don't want to get involved in recency bias, and this is, now you could say it's an 11-game streak, but it's much longer than, it's 11-game winning streak, but their run streak is much longer than that. They've been scoring runs, you know, like I said, I'm tracking back 16 games where they've scored 6 runs or more in 14 of 16, I think, or maybe it's 13 of 16, maybe it's 14 of 17. Let me check what that number stands at. But this has been a streak basically through the entire month of June. I don't think I've ever seen an Astros team, and I've seen more talented lineups because Springer's out, you know, Springer's not here. During this time frame, Michael Brantley had been out for a little bit. Jose Altuve sat last night. I mean, they're trying to rest some guys. But right now, you're talking about a team that I think this is the best run that I've ever seen an Astros offense have. I mean, over the course of a month. If you want to make it a month, we're 24 days in now to a month? So it's going to go down, I think, as the most devastating offensive month in Astros club history. I think. You know, I know 19 was a good offense, 18 was good, 17 was considered historical. I don't think they ever had a month like this. I would doubt it. From a run production, a power production, a hit production. It used to be they could get, you know, 10 hits and 7 runs because they were Crush City, or they'd hit the home runs, or they've had 17 and 18 hits in back-to-back games. And this is not unusual for them right now. 17 and 18 to go with their 13 and 12 runs.
So, the power and the hitting has just been unbelievable. Do you know what their ERA is? The starting pitching ERA during the 11-game streak?
Oh, man. It's below 2.
195,
yeah. It was 185.
195 after last night. 195 out of your starting pitching. And, McCullers went 4 1/3. You had 1 5 2/3. You had Odorizzi going. Odorizzi was 5 innings of no-hit ball.
Yeah,
and
Garcia screwed it up yesterday.
Yeah,
it actually went up when he gave up 2 earned runs, when he got another quality start.
Yeah.
2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts.
Here's the streak, during the streak. 7 innings, 1 run. 4 1/3, 1. 5 2/3, 3. The Greinke start, 5 2/3, 3, is the worst of all during the streak. 7-2, 7-1, 7-2, 6-2, 5-0, 7 1/3, 1, 7-0, 6-2. It's ridiculous
all
how good this staff is.
All of those are OQSs.
Yeah. And it was now let's not forget, there were some good teams in here, too.
It's considered an Odorizzi quality start. An
Odorizzi
OQS.
Quality start. Yeah. OQS. Well,
although he's having FQSs, Fromber quality starts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, no hit. That's all he could
Fromber
do was no hit.
Fromber quality starts
you.
Are 6 2. A quality start is 6 innings and 3 runs. A Fromber is a 6 2. Really, that's a Garcia. That should be considered a Garcia quality start. A GQS is 6 innings and 2 runs. An Odorizzi quality start is 5 1/3 with 3 runs. Sometime it'll be a Greinke quality start. A Fromber.
Yeah, or 8-1.
A Fromber is like a 7-2. That's a Fromber quality start.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what
yeah, because like if he only goes 6, you're really a little disappointed in him.
I am, because he's an efficient pitcher and a ground ball pitcher. You know, he can have you hitting to weak contact and get through an inning with 9 pitches. Not that big a deal for him.
So, for those of you who don't know what OPS is, a measurable that tells you that you're hitting and you're hitting with power and you're getting on base.
Well, if it's you don't know what OPS is, you're 7 years old.
Well,
or you're 97.
Yeah, but it's a pretty good measure of what kind of hitter you are.
Yeah, it's a great measure. Ted,
who do you think's got the highest OPS?
Ted Williams used to use it
on the team right now.
Uh, um. Brantley's like 920. I would say, no, it can't be Carlos.
It's Carlos.
Is it?
934.
He's all the way up to 934.
Well,
now?
He's just been on a heater. It's unbelievable.
He's higher than Jordan?
Brantley is 923. Yuli is 920. Jordan is 901.
Okay. Four guys at 900.
Okay, so can I tell you something, though? And I keep bringing this up, but it is, it's amazing to me how little Lance Berkman's career, 15 years, his OPS, you know what it is?
What?
Better than any of these.
That's
943.
That's truly, and that's before launch angles, and that's before studies of exit velo. That's really, truly incredible.
943 career, we're like stunned at how amazing this is over 3 months that Carlos Correa is a 934. And Lance Berkman's career over 15 years was higher than
that.
That
really deserves more
nobody voted for Lance him for McCullers the All-Star, for a Hall of Fame.
If Lance McCullers doesn't talk about bathrooms, is he still on
Lance
the,
Berkman.
I mean, Lance Berkman, is he still on the list? Is he still? Well, I guess he. It's been the 5 years.
I don't think the national rise. I think they just looked at him as Lance Berkman as opposed to.
It's unbelievable. But for Bagwell and Biggio, I just think they overshadowed him during that time. When the reality was, he was the more consistent one.
Oh no, he was the most by far. By far.
How did Lance Berkman slip out of public consciousness when he was like he was the most consistent hitter?
Yeah,
he was a switch hitter, the most consistent hitter. And I know Bagwell and Biggio, and part of it is because narratives build, and they were Mr. Astros. They were Mr. Astros.
Bagwell's in the Hall of Fame. His OPS is .005 higher than Lance Berkman's career.
And there's questions
and
about him.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. And Lance Berkman is out after 1 year.
There's questions about Jeff. Yeah, about no questions about Lance Berkman. No. It's funny. Somebody tried to throw a Lance Berkman out there when they're arguing about Astros cheaters. I'm like, dude. I said, you really need to study. Lance Berkman was one of the guys, you can Google it, who were going after the cheaters and speaking out about the steroid guys from way, way back. I mean, those numbers. Now, look, I don't know that I consider Lance Berkman a Hall of Famer when I just think about the body of work. But when you look at the numbers and you look at some of the fringe guys who have gotten in, he deserves to be in the conversation. He wasn't even in the conversation.
No, he...
And maybe the numbers do say he is, you know, it's much harder. Basketball Hall of Fame has gotten to be like, you're a defense player of the year 1 year, you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben Wallace averaged 5 points
Rudy
a game.
Rudy Gobert is going in.
No, he is going in.
Three-time defensive player of the year.
Done. He's just in. Two. How are they not? How is how he not are you elected not yet?
And what he did in France, probably, for a young French team, probably.
Yeah, but he touched all the microphones.
He might. He spread COVID throughout the country.
Yeah, he did.
So he might be out.
He's patient zero.
Even though they said COVID was probably Artie.
It
wasn't Rudy. It was probably Mitchell who spread it. Yeah.
All right. 713 ESPN 97.5. Well, speaking of basketball, we have some sound. I don't know. I hadn't heard this.
It's a little disconcerting.
It is a little disconcerting. It's about Christian Wood, and you got
to
hear it.
And I listened to you and AJ talk a little bit about. You know, I mean, and Dell is anti-Christian Wood, and it has become one of these things where the more people keep bashing Christian Wood, I'm saying, well, maybe Christian Wood's got to go. Dell hates him. AJ hates him. Yeah. Ryan Russillo maybe hates him.
Right. Well,
like, are we on the wrong side of history on this one?
Well, we'll find out on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 718 ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776. So Dell sent us this audio. Were you listening to the podcast, or how'd you hear this?
Yeah, I was out for a run/walk, and I listened to the podcast that last night.
You run? Where do you run?
In the neighborhood.
You run in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah.
You do?
There were some questions about that earlier, but I think things have calmed down. around the country. So now I'm back outside.
Do you think that's advisable?
It wasn't.
You sprinting from house to house, in between the houses?
I'm not knocking on people's homes or even going on their property. I'm not doing that.
I don't think you should be sprinting out in between houses.
I'm not sprinting in between houses or looking in windows and seeing what's going on. I'm not doing that.
My wife thinks I'm a lunatic for watching, like, I'll watch shows on my phone as I walk. And I may walk 3 miles and watch, you know, like I've watched entire comedy shows. Well, stand-ups for when Chris Rock had the
what
new one come out.
What you need is one of those, some kind of headgear that puts it out of
that would be the dream.
So you don't have to hold the
phone.
That
would be the dream.
Yeah.
That would be the dream.
Why don't you invent that?
She already thinks it's kind of like the OptiGrab.
Right? Yeah, right. I was thinking that. The OptiGrab, you were. But then you lose everything because everybody goes cross-eyed.
But I think, she thinks, why would you do that? You don't get a good workout. I said, I'm keeping my heart rate. Listen. Misses marathons and all that. You don't know what fat burning means. We got to keep our heart rate between 110 and 116.
For a certain amount of
time. We don't have to be like you. Like, you're not burning anything. Yeah. Actually, I am. If you do it long enough, you don't know. You know, keep on running, then you're going to have knee replacements, and I'll just be laughing.
Does she have a nutritionist? No.
No. Do I have a hot nutritionist? Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I don't know why you had to add that part.
I just needed to put that other part in.
Okay. No, I didn't know about
it. Not a lie.
I didn't want to listen.
Not a lie.
Okay.
I mean, it just seemed
tell a lie just now.
I mean, it just seems like something you didn't have to add in case you wanted to stay out of trouble. That's all.
When Duke Manyweather says, have you seen her yet before my first Zoom meeting? And I say, no. He goes, well, you need to, just so you're prepared. Right. And then soon sends me an Instagram of, you know, her working out or doing something. I'm like, well, I feel like I'm going to get in good shape now. I feel like I'm going to get everything right.
See, that's funny because my wife is like, yoga instructor.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't going to that yoga. Now, I want a yoga instructor that looks like that because now I know they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? You know your nutritionist knows what she's doing.
She fixed DJ Fluker, or she can fix me.
Wow.
DJ Fluker
was a mudslide.
Oh, he got back into the league because he was eating foods that were... he had an intolerance for. He had no idea he couldn't have asparagus salmon. He had like severe, his body needed a different type of food. So she found all the foods that he shouldn't have
salmon
had.
Salmon and asparagus are bad for you?
Yeah, he had
Thank
foods.
You. Thank
had,
you.
Well, he had intolerances.
I'm
going
to tell my wife this.
His body had, yours probably.
No, mine has an intolerance to it.
You have to go through blood tests.
My mouth has an intolerance to it.
Understandable. Your mouth has an intolerance to water.
The only thing his mouth has an intolerance to.
All right, so Christian Wood, you were listening to this while you were running through your neighborhood, and which I don't think is a great idea.
Yeah, running through my neighborhood. No, I wasn't wearing a ski mask. No, I wasn't wearing all black. No, none of the things you're about to suggest.
I didn't say any of that. I'm saying is, if I were you, I'd walk nice and slow.
Okay, sure. That's all. But it's the Ryan Russillo podcast, and Kevin O'Connor, who's been a guest on the show, works for The Ringer, was on, and they're discussing the Rockets' options at number 2. And all of a sudden, I'm listening. I'm going, oh. That's interesting. Here's what Ryan Russillo had to say about Christian Wood.
For Houston, do you like the Mobley-Wood thing, you know, with what they could be together, or do you also kind of feel that they should go with one of the guards?
I think Wood's incredibly talented. We know the numbers. I think he's a tough guy to play with. I think he's a tough guy to have around.
Because he's so lean?
No, I just think he's always – I think he's kind of a tough teammate.
I see.
I'm talking about, like
– interesting.
The locker room stuff. Doesn't get the ball enough, shaking his head in the timeout, making sure everybody knows that he's pissed, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
In other words, you're flipping him if you're Houston. You're not thinking about changing the pick. If anything, you're flipping Wood to a team that could use him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Right. And I think
you get something good back for Christian Wood.
Yeah. With that contract, and you were on it early. I mean, you were really on it, but I don't know that there's a pity party for any team when he's gone. All right. So I'll just leave it at that.
This is news to me.
No, listen, this is a concern because Ryan Russillo does have some contacts around the league. But some of the things he said, so read between the lines. We're going to listen again, and I want you to listen to this. One of the first things he says, if you want to read between the lines, and I've become an expert, most of us have, from the Bill O'Brien press conferences, because Bill O'Brien will tell you things. If you listen long enough, he'll tell you things Gary wouldn't. Bill O'Brien will. He just can't keep it in. He just said at the end, he goes, I'll keep it at that. The only time you say that is when somebody has told you something and you
can't.
Know you've already gone far enough and you don't want to say anything else. For him saying that and then for him saying locker room guy, like you can talk about body language. How much basketball? How much
teammate.
Rockets?
He's a hard
teammate. He said hard teammate, locker room, and I'll keep it at that. That's coming from inside somewhere. That's either coming from a player or somebody in management, but that's or a coach. That is coming from somewhere inside the building. I'm telling you, which I've never heard any of this stuff. This is why it was pretty shocking to both of us and to Dell. For Dell's text, I could basically hear, excuse me. That's what I thought I heard as soon as his text came in, where he's like, I need you guys to listen to this, please.
It was so shocking. I stopped scoping out people's homes for my next job.
What?
And sent you the text.
And I was like, what? Christian Wood is one of the nicest guys in the world,
again.
This
is all news to me.
Listen
play
to
it
this.
Again.
For Houston, do you like the Mobley Wood thing, you know, with what they could be together? Or do you also kind of feel that they should go with one of the guards?
I think Wood's incredibly talented. We know the numbers. I think he's a tough guy to play with. I think he's a tough guy to have around.
Because he's so lean?
No, I just think he's always... I think he's kind of a tough teammate.
I see.
I'm talking about, like...
Interesting.
The locker room stuff. Doesn't get the ball enough. Shaking his head in the timeout. Making sure everybody knows that he's pissed. You know, that kind of stuff. So, I don't know...
In other words, you're flipping him if you're Houston. You're not thinking about changing the pick. If anything, you're flipping Wood to a team that could use him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Right. And I think
he gets on the good back for Christian Wood.
Yeah. With that contract. And you were on it early. I mean, you were really on it. But I don't know that there's a pity party for any team when he's gone. So I'll just leave it at that.
Had anybody heard anything like this?
Nothing like this.
About him?
Nothing like this.
All I hear from the Rockets is how happy they are with him. This is news. Maybe you do flip him. You know what? Maybe if he goes to a Golden State with a Steph and a Klay and a Draymond who could keep him in tow, and you know, and he certainly would have to, you know, kowtow to what they've done in their careers and championships, all of that. Maybe he would be a better teammate. But we're just taking Ryan Russillo's word for this.
Yeah,
now.
But I have not found Ryan Russillo over the years to be a guy who is makes wild accusations and claims. He is a guy who has I've seen him at events, especially football events. I've always been surprised that he's pretty in with a lot of the people who are there. Like, and I don't know if it's because who did he used to be with? Russillo and
he was with Dan, what's his
not
name?
Levitard.
Levitard, yeah. Wasn't he?
Was it those two?
No, didn't he host a show with Danny Cannell at one point on ESPN?
Yes, Danny Cannell and him. But who was he always on with?
Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
on
SVP and Russillo. Yep. That's right.
I think
that's what it was.
SVP, yeah.
But he has a lot of people.
He came
know
in and
him,
did a lot of gambling stuff with him.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a co-host with them. Like he was on the SVP and Russillo. They were the two guys.
Yes.
And
that
so
was it.
I'm just telling you, Ryan Russillo does have contacts around the league, and he does have people on the know. For him to say, I'll leave it at that, that is, to me, that tells you I've got something.
Yeah,
I got something. Somebody told me this. I don't know if it's Daryl Morey because, you know, he's part of the podcast stuff, and Daryl could have heard it from Rafael Stone. It, you know, I don't know, but it came from somewhere. You don't just say, I'll leave it at that. Do you ever say when you're assuming something, when you got an opinion based on what you see on TV, do you say, I'll leave it at that? No.
No.
That's when somebody has told you something. So that was a concern for me, and then it got me thinking, okay, well, is it possible that the Rockets might want to sell high? Is that something that they might want to do? And some of the people who have reached out on Twitter and some of the arguments that have been made about selling high, potentially, you know, injury concerns or durability concerns. If what Ryan Russillo says is true, see, that's the exact kind of guy you actually don't want in a locker room. If we are to extrapolate what he said, that he's difficult in the locker room or if he's not going to be on board during the process of a rebuild, why would you wait until he's gone? Why would you wait until, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You would, the first thing you would do would be to move him while he's coming off of a 21-10 season. Once again, 9.6 rebounds, but basically 21-10.
Well, yeah, if you...
2 years of control at a very, very likable price.
Difficult behind the scenes. If he's not going to be a star, if he's not going to be a max... That was the conversation AJ and I had yesterday. He just doesn't feel Christian Wood is going to be a max guy. You've seen him for 1 year, and he was spectacular last year. Now, if he's a pain in the ass, that's another story. That changes the narrative totally for me. If he's not a good teammate, if he's not going to play well with others, then you know what? Maybe you do grab as much as you can possibly get for him. I just hate that it would be the 7th overall pick. That's it for Christian Wood? And you have to throw in the 23rd or 24th pick?
Well, that's AJ's scenario.
Yeah, that's AJ's. I don't believe that for 1 minute. A Christian Wood would be better than a rookie that's the 7th overall pick. A Christian Wood is a piece that right now Golden State could use. Right now, how much better would they be with Christian Wood?
Who are you? You're saying for their 7th pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree, especially at that price, and you've got it for 2 more years at that favorable price. I mean, what you're talking about is being able, and now they might have to throw something, a contract your way or whatever, but what you're talking about is a front court player. Now, after Klay Thompson's issues, are they going to take on a player that they think has durability concerns? That would be the question.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, I guess that would be that. Well, obviously, that lowers the value because he didn't play. But not tremendously to me.
Would you guys take Wiseman for Wood?
I'd take Wiseman in the 7 for Wood.
Yeah,
for Wood.
Yeah.
If they decide to do that.
7:30 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Is that Trader Jeff? We got to get him in here. See what he thinks. What?
Yes.
Now he'll tell us the value of a Christian Wood.
Yeah,
in the trade.
I'm not. I don't want to talk about it anymore until we get
an expert opinion on it. Trader Jeff on the other side, right here on ESPN 97. What about your patio?
Texas Custom Patio is man. So I don't know why you guys have a hard time remembering the name. This is pretty easy. We live in Texas. They customize patios, so it's Texas Custom Patio. Patios. I get so many people on Twitter saying, "What's the name of the outdoor place? The patio place?" Texas Custom Patios. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com. Or, if you like, you can go to TCP Lance. And if you go to TCPLance.com, what you're going to find is the before and after shots of my house. And it's pretty astounding what they were able to do. First and foremost, they built the structure. They designed it based on the space. And you'll see one of the pictures of before, the space that I had. Stephen Schell and his design group looked at the space and said, "Oh, this is perfect. We can see this absolutely." They created a gabled space that they built onto my pre-existing home. They matched the roof, which has a particular kind of shingle on it. They were able to match that. And then, you know, the audio-visual, they have an AV guy come in and you get set up with this big screen TV, a surround sound system that's up in the roof, up in the ceiling. Get the big ceiling fans in there for you, and they can do so much more. If you want to get, we got an outdoor fireplace. They can do outdoor kitchens for you. They can build any, and I consider my patio to be fairly basic, and they can build the same thing for you. It's a great spot. My daughter and her friend who spent the night, they were out watching TV out there while we were all watching basketball inside. I mean, it's a great space for your family. It's a great space to entertain, have your boys over. Y'all can have some bourbon and some steaks, whatever it is that you're doing. But I can promise you this, it becomes an outdoor living area, and it really makes your house a home. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
At 735 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. Before we get to Trader Jeff, Ryan Spader just tweeted this out. No player in Major League history has both more doubles and more home runs through their first 162 major league games than Yordan Alvarez, who has played 151.
No players in major league history?
In major league history.
Now, remember, he had a whole season off.
That's true, but he has only played in 151 games in his career.
That's what, we forget. You know, Fromber doesn't even
have a full season.
Think about this. Your best pitcher and your most powerful hitter have never even played a full season of major league baseball.
About that. Yordan, more doubles and more home runs through their first 162 major league games. He's pretty good. We're watching something that's pretty good, y'all.
Most doubles and home runs in the history of the game.
Has both more doubles and more home runs.
That's astonishing when you think of some of the Ken Griffey Jr., some of the rookie talents that have been out there who had power.
Fred Lynn was a rookie of the year and MVP.
But there's no way he was going to have the home run totals back then.
No. No.
A-Rod. Nothing. I'm just trying to think of steroid guys.
Yordan now has 40 homers.
Mm-hmm. Remember when Todd Kallas used to call him Roydon, and we were like, please, Todd.
No, stop doing that.
Please stop calling him Roydon, especially Gene Diaz.
I texted Gene Diaz. I was like, dude, this is not good. That's not good.
What did he say?
They didn't say anything, and they kept doing it. It was like, ooh, Roydon.
After the trash can stuff, okay, can it officially end the Roydon stuff now?
Yeah.
Let's get Trader Jeff.
Yeah, Trader Jeff in here. See what kind of deal we can make. What's up, Jeff?
Hey guys. Yeah, that whole Christian Wood thing from Ryan Rosello, I'm gonna take it with a grain of salt with all these reporters kind of contradicting themselves like 2 days later, like Jay Williams saying something and then he retracts it, and then some other reporter says something and retracts it. So I don't really take too much stock in these things unless, I have like a really good local source coming out with it. But in terms of value, Christian Wood's value will be highest during the season come the trade deadline when, one, he shows he can stay healthy and that it's not a fluke. He still can shoot 20 and 10. And then most importantly, what people forget is when teams want to make that playoff push, or a team that is a championship caliber team gets an injury, they get a little more desperate. So the Lakers, they may say, hey, we only got LeBron for one or two more years. Let's just go all in and get Christian Wood for Kuzma because Christian Wood has such a great salary because they're hamstrung. Or another team on the East Coast may say the same thing. So people need to realize if you do what the Boston Celtics did and just knee-jerk reaction it and do it right in the beginning of not even the off season, you're going to make a bad decision. So it's best to wait when teams get desperate from the trade deadline, when injuries occur, when that playoff push is getting done, when teams are more likely to do that because present first-round picks are not worth as much as future first-round picks in trade. And people need to be cognizant of that.
Jeff, we appreciate it. I don't know about that because you know who the seventh pick is going to be right now. Next year's seventh pick could suck. There are a lot of NBA drafts.
Well, you got to figure out.
And you don't know. And oh, by the way, you give Christian Wood to a good team and your draft pick is going to suck. You know right now Golden State has the seventh pick. You know who that's going to be. It's probably going to be Davion Mitchell.
Now, I don't mind the concept of waiting until trade deadline. But, the other thing is you really have a wide open – you're kind of wide open in basketball. You're kind of wide open if you do this before the – if you were to look at this before the draft, you could have multiple suitors, which is what you want. You can fine-tune your selection process. When the Rockets – well, James is always going to be tougher. Christian Wood's salary makes him imminently tradable. He's under control for 2 years at a very reasonable price. A price point, in fact, that is highly unusual for a player with his output.
And a team like Golden State, that window is closing, that they need help right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they need that help. And you know what that pick is. I couldn't disagree more with you, Jeff. I mean, you know who's in this draft, how deep this draft is, who is going to be there at number seven if it was Golden State. And if it's another team and it's later, then... Not that interested. When you give Christian Wood to a team that really needs him down the stretch to win and win big, then that draft pick is going to suck unless they have a draft pick of a team that's bad.
To Jeff's point, it all depends on the strength of a draft, because I remember before the Heat acquired Jimmy Butler, they made a trade which gave OKC their 2021 first-round pick. Now, the Heat were coming off a non-playoff appearance, so people were talking about how valuable that pick could be 3 years out, because they're not good. This is one of the deeper drafts. What could that pick be for OKC if it's in the lottery? Turns out the Heat acquired Jimmy Butler, so the pick's not as valuable anymore. So you're playing, and that's what the game the Rockets are playing right now with all their future first rounders from Brooklyn. Their hope is, like, getting Brooklyn's 2021 first round pick isn't valuable. Getting it later because you think Brooklyn's going to stink. Now, what if Brooklyn doesn't stink? Then the picks become less valuable. So there's no set thing for that. It all depends.
It depends.
And this year, getting Davion Mitchell may be more, in this hypothetical, may be a better thing than waiting until 2023 to draft somebody.
No. Yeah. If, in fact, it is that.
Yes.
And, well, and Golden State's the perfect team, too. Again, that window is closing, and they need immediate help. Does Davion Mitchell or anybody else give them the kind of – they thought, James Wiseman is going to – now James Wiseman may be a perfect fit for them and a perfect piece. He was a rookie. We'll see. He's probably going to be a lot better. We'll see how he turns out. But they could certainly use a guy like Christian Wood now.
You want to talk about projections. I'm looking at the draft. I'm looking at Jonathan Givony from ESPN. For years, ran Draft Express, and it was famous for knowing all the overseas players. And so they hired him at ESPN. And I'm looking at the mock draft that he had from the 22nd, and he's got Jalen Green, number 2. He's got pretty much, Evan Mobley, 3, Jalen Suggs, 4, Jonathan Kuminga, the G League talented 18-year-old G Leaguer, 5. Oklahoma City, they got Scotty Barnes from Florida State. He's got Davion Mitchell at the Golden State selection, as we've been saying, but around there. Keon Johnson, this is the kid who broke the record for highest vertical leap at the NBA Combine with 48 inches. Here's what it says about him. The Magic struggled with wing depth all season and can afford to take a home run swing on a high upside prospect like Johnson, who brings the type of playmaking and two-way versatility that is hard to find. He's a tenacious defender, which is a plus, who showed enough promising glimpses of passing and shot-making to suggest outstanding things to come for a team that is willing to be patient with his development. So I said, well, let's see what his patient with his development and glimpses of outstanding shot-making look like. And I go to his season this year, shot 44.9% from the field, 27% from 3, averaged 11 points.
Well, you need some patience.
Averaged 11 points and 3.5 rebounds a game. Like, I was just thinking, I'm in a job where I have to project NFL draft talent, but guys who have played, for the most part, 3 years, it's going to be harder if it starts turning into 2 years. But we have to project. This projection is on a different level. You're having to project 19-year-old players. 19-year-old players who are shooting 27% from 3, 11 points a game, 3 rebounds, and you're having to project that into the top 10. Like, that is so unbelievably hard, I would assume. Sacramento King, Franz Wagner, 19-8. Corey Kispert's an old man at 22-3. But it's what they say about Davion Mitchell is the Warriors took Wiseman over LaMelo last year in the short term, maximizing their championship window, or they tried to. And with Steph Curry a year closer, they might feel pressure to again take a player that helps them get closer to their glory days. Mitchell's one of the best defenders in the draft. So if you were to get, let's just say, hypothetically, the 7th pick for a guy like Christian Wood, which might actually be, like I said, they might want even more than that, the 7th pick team. I don't know how that would work out, what the dynamics would be. But the players in that area are known as good defenders. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world if you already know you're going to get the 2nd pick to maybe get a defender too. But boy, you are really, really, your top 2 players then would be, your top 3 players would be an enigmatic Porter. Let's say Jalen Green, for example, if we said, or Evan Mobley, who smaller guys are going to, AJ made a good point. At his age, he is going to fill into his frame, even though he's going to be thin probably. We saw thin Clint Capella, who's filled into his frame. And then you're going to have another potentially 19-year-old coming off the draft. Like, you're going to be young, which is great. You can grow with that youth, but do you have enough Are you going to be the Pelicans where they just can't seem to get it together because they're immature? Or are you going to be a team that that can grow together? At some point, you're going to have to pepper some seasoning in there.
All right, 745 ESPN, 97.5. We got to pepper a little commercials in here. When we come back, how can you make money off where the Texans finish in their division? We'll see. You can't, and
play
you
against
can,
them every game?
And you can make some money.
17-team parlay?
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get to this Texans thing. Keith wants to get in here and talk about Michael Brantley, who has just been unbelievable.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good, Keith. How are you?
Listen, I think there's a possibility that Michael Brantley might be an android because humans don't come off the IL and go 30 for 61. But in all seriousness, I didn't know how good this guy was until he comes to Houston and we get to see him play every day. He's getting two hits a night. And then last night, he reaches over the fence and robs a Tiger of a home run. It was awesome. He's not going to do or say anything stupid. He just does his job. You know, if he played for Belichick in New England, I guarantee you he would be the team captain. He's the ultimate professional, and, you know, he's Mr. Dependable. But I'll end with this. He's also pretty smart. You know, he re-signs with the Astros. Why would you sign somewhere else to play with a lesser lineup? Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Very smart move by him.
You're not racking him. So here,
that's a great call by Keith.
How many?
I can't believe you just played that.
How many multi-hit games does he have in a row now?
Brantley? I mean, if you're hitting 500, I'd say five.
Six.
Yeah.
He's just under 500 now because, well, he did go 2 for 6, which is a .333 average, and he lowered his average yesterday because he was only 2 for 6. So since he's come back, yeah, he's 30 for 61. It's stupid how good he is. It's stupid. This month, 492. His OPS, 1249.
Oh, wow. It is. I'm the same way Keith is. I mean, I knew about him. I didn't care about him. I knew he was supposed to be a good hitter. He was productive. When he got to Houston, just watching his swing, watching how quiet it is, watching the hands and how patient and how he can just sit back on pitches longer, seeing his plate discipline, just realizing that he is such a professional hitter, it is truly... Like, he is so impressive. And to be able to get him for, you know, four total years. When did he come? In 18?
Yeah, he was
here
in 18.
3 years?
Or
did they get him in 19? No.
They got him in 18.
They got him in 18, yeah. So this is going to be a five-year run with Michael Brantley. It was 2 years this last time, right?
He did come in 19.
I think
because he's only been here. This is his third year here, right? Because he had a two-year deal for $32 million, and now he's got another two-year deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's only been 2 years. And I mean, you could see right away, like, this guy's different. This guy's super.
Yeah.
He's clutch, and he's just professional hitters. The best way to this is what it looks like. Like, hitting instructors probably can show Michael Brantley tape and show you, all right, look at his hands. Look at his hands through the zone. Watch how quiet he is. Watch his lower half. I'm sure they can. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they could take a Michael Brantley swing, and we've actually seen Blum do that at times. Go through some of what he was doing, but we'll get to Bagwell being on a broadcast last night. But it was it's been unbelievable, and to get him back felt like a major coup.
Yep.
To lose him and Springer was going to hurt. You know, George right now, he rested. He played two games and had to rest again. You know, he was hurt after the first game of the year, missed a long time, then came back and got hurt again. And now he came back, had two games, and then rested. I mean, they're getting – I was reading Toronto Star. I wanted to see what they're saying. And they're being patient. They're being patient. But the fans are like, he's hitting 136.
6 years, 150.
He's hitting 136. And, yeah, that is an albatross of a contract if Georgie doesn't get healthy and start hitting like George.
That's the fear of Correa right now.
Yeah.
That's the fear that you got to have. And Lindor is another – That ain't healthy for Correa either, what Lindor's doing with that huge contract. So we teased that you can make some money off the Houston Texans. Here's how you can make some money off of them. If they finish fourth in the division, you have to let it. It is the huge favorite that they're going to finish last in the division. You have to lay $375 to win $100. Now you have to put up a $375 and you only get back $100 because they're the huge favorite to finish fourth. Here's where you can make some money. Is the Jaguars sucking and the Texans finishing third. And I don't think that's outrageous.
No. I mean, it's not the favorite.
It's no.
But that's why you say make some money.
So you can make some money. If you bet 100, you win 350 on that.
So it's 3.5 to 1 payoff. A 3.5 to 1 payoff that the Astros are simply better than the Jags.
Just finish in the third position.
I mean, it's worth. I think that's worth the. I think that's worth.
That's
the
realistic.
Value.
The second pace 16 to 1.
It's not realistic.
And first is 25 to 1. They're not going to finish first or second in the division. Not with the Titans and the Colts. But it is reasonable to believe that they can beat, that they can finish, and it's much better value. I'm not going to lay $375 to win $100 for them to finish fourth, which is the big favorite, which is they're the worst team, but they're not that much worse than the Jaguars. They're not with a rookie quarterback. They could struggle mightily. Andrew Luck struggled mightily. Peyton Manning struggled mightily his rookie year, leading the league in interceptions. It is not out of the realm of possibility that the Jaguars are the worst team in the division this year. They'll be good in the future with Trevor Lawrence, but it's not, I don't think it's crazy. That's not bad odds. You can get it at Bet Online. You can bet, I think there is good value in the Texans finishing third in the division.
Well, you're just talking about value. It's not a prediction. It's just like,
no.
If somebody said, all right, you could wager 100 to win 200, I'd be like, nah. But 350? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but could it happen? Yeah, a Trevor Lawrence injury or Trevor Lawrence struggling as a rookie. It's not the craziest thing ever that a good quarterback struggles as a rookie. That's not – we saw it with Peyton Manning. It's not insane that a rookie could struggle. So, yeah, or injuries at critical positions. The Texans have enough new players in that you could make the argument that maybe they're more of a wild card than you think because you do have guys – like Shaq Lawson, like Desmond King, like, you know, Philip Lindsay, like Mark Ingram, you have an offensive line that appears to be healthy. You have enough and a mobile quarterback and Tyrod Taylor. There's enough there that you could convince yourself, hey, maybe this team surprises with 6 wins. I don't even know if that surprised me if they got to 6. But is it crazy to think that maybe you could be 6-11 and they could be 5-12? No, that's not insane. That's a team who was the worst team in football last year.
No.
It's not insane that maybe you win a couple more than expected and maybe they lose a couple more than expected. That's not insane at all.
No.
So plus 350, yeah, that's not a bad.
And oh, by the way,
I mean, you like plus 500, but that's not realistic.
And oh, by the way, you play them first game. You can get 4 pizzas, 4 beers, 4 Cokes, and you can get tickets to the game, 4 tickets to the game for like $20. All of this going on right now. There's a family fun 4-pack going on for the Houston. Can you believe?
Tell us more about that.
For the first game, they have to have 4-packs with pizzas in. They're throwing in pizzas. This is unbelievable where this has gone from.
Is it a single topping or do I get any topping
I
want?
No, it's pepperoni like you get.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
You're not getting. No, it's one of those.
You want a meat lover?
It's one of those pizza in a box.
You want a meat lover?
I can't. No. You don't get that at the game. No. You get pizza in a box.
Oh, you get that single? That's what they're
talking about? Pizza in a can.
Oh, wow.
You get, I don't know if you heard. It's pizza in a cup.
Ooh, delicious.
Yeah, pizza in a cup. Let's go.
Once again, where do you see these tickets?
Art, didn't Art send us something? Or was it about buying? Didn't Art send us the flyer or something?
No, it's real. It's real.
I just went to the Jacksonville game.
Okay.
And the tickets that are available, these are the ones that are available. So there's not a ton left on the lower bowl.
Bring the family out for the home opener.
Did Art send
four tickets, four pizzas, and four sodas, not beer.
Okay,
only $199.
Click that link.
Browse tickets. Well, this one.
See, it's just the picture. That's what I'm saying. Where's the actual link?
Maybe he grabbed it from his email and just sent the picture.
Read the online version. Yeah, he just screen grabbed it, so I can't click on it. It's the Stampede. It's called the Stampede, Lance. You don't know nothing about Texan Stampedes.
See, I'm actually trying to get
it's
this
bulls
for my...
It's bulls on the run.
I'm trying to get this for my family, and I can't even get it. Where is it on the website? That's what I'm saying. I don't see it anywhere. Y'all might want to do a better job with your website.
Oh, that's terrible. HoustonTexans.com?
Seriously, go find it. You go find it. See if you can go find it. Game day tickets, I go single games. I don't see any special push this button and magic things happen.
This seems like something that you would get in a mailer, an email, and then...
Hospitality options, nothing.
If you're having trouble at the top, if you're having trouble reading this email, read the online version. Then the link to read the online version is in the email.
Okay, you just tell me if y'all can find it anywhere. Anywhere on the website.
Maybe it's strictly for people on their mailing list?
The Stampede newsletter. Here it is. Let's see.
Go ahead and find it. If you find it, good for you.
I'm not subscribing to this. Are you kidding me? You think I want that heat? No, thank you.
Mark Vandermeer each week will tell you, hey, listen, this is going to be a great year, rock and roll.
Why are you going after Mark Vandermeer?
I'm not going after him. I love Marky Mark.
Uh-huh.
Feel bad. I feel guilty. I need to confess something here.
Oh.
When we come back, I'll confess it. I have a confession to make about the Texans and specifically Mark Vandermeer.
I thought of something else because you confessed to this in the past.
I like pretty feet.
No, that's
you like Mark's voice.
There's a picture of Rihanna's feet.
I like Mark's voice.
I like Mark's voice.
I got a confession to make about me and Mark Vandermeer.
Oh,
but it's not.
It's
not.
Are you?
This is
which
salacious.
One of, he doesn't know.
Which
either.
One of you is the FBI agent? Which one of you is the uncle from from Ozark? Is that the confession
that's
you have
Tyler.
To make?
No. That's
this is
Tyler.
You are going to. I'm going to tell you something about feelings I have. Involving Mark Vandermeer.
Wow, special feelings.
When we come back,
I
I'm
told
just
you.
Leave it there.
8 o'clock.
I'm gonna leave it there.
Let's leave it there.
I'm coming out with something.
Oh, you're. You know, you shouldn't play that game.
With something.
Okay.
With information.
Okay.
ESPN 97.5.